As I was watching the news this last week, it amazed me how many cliches, one-liners, idioms, sound bites, and advice could be packed into a half-hour program. I went through my own inventory of what I remember throughout my life, some of those little sayings.
Can you hear me now?
You deserve a break today.
I'll be back.
Go ahead, make my day. And I would be remiss as a trekker if I didn't say live long and prosper. Now, of course, my mom gave me some words of advice. One-liners, good things. Put that down, you don't know where that's been. Put on a coat or you'll catch cold. Always ignored. And my grandmother, don't put your eggs in one basket. What? And I bet you've got some yourselves. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Give them to me. Come on, bring them on. Give on those one-liners you love so well. What else? Well, just do it. What else we got? Oh, Coke and a smile. Got that earlier.
Where's the beef?
Well, where's the beef? Beef, it's what's for dinner. Sorry, vegetarians. Teach your children well. Oh, there we go. Resistance is futile. You know, it seems like we're in a culture where basically we have learned life from these one-liners. You know, and today really is no different when we listen to the words of Paul and Jesus. Really. What we make out to be some possible big, complex theological idea, really, it really is much simpler than that. What I discovered was that these were some of the simplest passages with the most profound concepts, concepts that we try to live by. They're giving us their idioms on what it means to live with one another in community. They take these rules for basic living and how we live together as God's own beloved and state them in unusual ways. By simple words of Paul, do not murder, do not steal, do not cheat on your spouse, do not covet. Ten Commandments, the ultimate one-liners, right? These rules for living in harmony with one another are adopted by Christians and non-Christians alike. And yes, it seems as though the summary of these commands that Paul gives us is not as easy to follow. Paul says to love your neighbor as yourself, one of the greatest and simplest commands Jesus could have given us. A simple yet profound concept that can affect everything and everyone. This can be an amazing place, the church. Especially when it's working as it's supposed to. Everything's on all cylinders. Everybody working in harmony. We're treating each other as if we're Christ ourselves. When we're following the command that Jesus left, love your neighbor as yourself, and you will hear this a few times because it bears repeating a few times. Love should not be a foreign concept to us. Through the caring of one another, we could spread the love of Christ and create a nurturing climate within the community, whether they come through the doors or not. As David Loos said in Dear Working Preacher from Luther Seminary, community, after all, is one of those feel-good words that draws us into idealisms. We imagine something out of Cheers. You're accepted for who you are. You're never lonely. And where, of course, and you might know this, where everybody knows your name. Norm! But the real difficult thing about community is that it's made up of people. And people, not you and me, of course, but most people can be difficult, selfish, challenging, and as it's applied to me, annoying, and unreliable. Doesn't sound like us, does it? No. When we're at this point, when we're usually daydreaming about community, we're often prompted to do so because we don't particularly like the people, i.e. the community that we're a part of. David Loos goes on to say that authentic community is hard to come by. It's work. It's a lot of work. But it's worth it. Because when you find it, it's like discovering a little piece of heaven here on earth. It's like experiencing God's reality in communal fellowship and existence of God within your midst. And as Jesus promises, whenever you gather this way, with honesty and integrity, even when it's hard, even when we don't like that person, amazing things can happen. Because Jesus is with you in the midst, standing there, forming and being formed by your communal sharing. Our actions do speak louder than our words. Whether we realize it or not, people pay attention to what we do more than what we say. As Christians, we should care. We should express love by caring for one another, listening to what people actually have to say, and taking time out of our busy lives to try to make a difference. Because the life that we lead here on earth is really temporary when we compare it to the eternal salvation of heaven. And since God loves us so much, he gave his only begotten Son to die for us, to atone for our sins. During his life on earth, Jesus was the example of love. Now, some of you were here last Maundy Thursday during Holy Week. And I said that in his last night with the disciples, Jesus gave us in such a short amount of time what it means to serve others and a new commandment which marks us as Christians to love one another as I have loved you. And to demonstrate this love, Jesus performed an act that can be described as profoundly intimate by washing the disciples' feet. I also said that Jesus had to do what he did to bring us into a deeper level of what it means to be a servant and living out the gospel. That all of us are here in the same place, human, dirty, flawed, forgiven, and loved. Regardless of who we are, because God knows our name. Jesus made a point to have their feet washed. Made a point to have the disciples' feet washed. Necessary to live out the mandate of love. Because we're flawed human disciples going out into the world to walk the earth to proclaim the gospel. The act of foot washing was to get them ready to go out into the muck and mire of the world. Because Christ said to show compassion and mercy for those that need it and to offer forgiveness for those who are repentant. He also explained the standard of love that we share with others, to love your neighbors as yourself. And we may not find it easy to follow this ultimate one-liner. But we should make every attempt to treat even total strangers with a spirit of love and compassion in everything that we do. God didn't ignore us as we're stumbling about in the dark, trying to find the right path. He offered his hand by sending us Jesus. And even though that Jesus did that foot washing 2,000 years ago, the work that Jesus began and the disciples continued as apostles continues even now. God's work isn't complete. And we as Christians are mandated, commanded, called to love one another and be a service of healing and helping those that need it, to bring hope to those that have no hope, to bring food and shelter for those that don't have any, to help heal those who are suffering from illness. And just as Jesus offered his life for us, we have a lot of work to do. Yesterday, some of you participated in the launch of ELCA's campaign, God's Work, Our Hands. Those that came, both members of Queen Anne and some neighbors in the neighborhood, shared the work of their hands with others and saw that the power of our hands in continuing the work for those in need. Now, going back to those many months ago on Maundy Thursday, we did an anointing of the hands rather than the washing of the feet. And in that time, I invited people to join me in an exercise. And I'm going to ask that you indulge me in this exercise once again as we begin this campaign. Hold your hands on your laps. Didn't think you'd be in an exercise on this, did you? Take a good, hard look at your hands. Reflect on them. Reflect on what they have done, who they have touched, who they have helped. Maybe family, friends, co-workers. Could be that your hands have touched those in pain or even dying. Maybe your hands have helped either a young one or an older one. Could be that your hands have soothed someone who is anxious or helped someone in distress. God calls our hands into service. We have a choice each time that we use our hands. A choice to do good by the way we use them. When we do use them for that, we touch another person's soul. Our hands can convey reverence, compassion, gentleness, patience, and peace, and all the blessings that come from our hearts, which is ultimately God's grace through our hands. So today, I'm going to invite you as you leave today to put your hands in the font, into the baptismal font, and remember your baptismal calling. And yes, there are towels back there to dry your hands so that you can be cleaned, refreshed, and strengthened to go out into the world, to get your hands dirty in the muck and mire of humanity, to be an example of grace and compassion, which has the chance to change our community. Because God's grace doesn't end at the table. It doesn't end there in the pew. It doesn't even end at the door. It ends out in the neighborhood and out in the world. It extends to the entire world. In the same way, our love should not stop at our families or ourselves, but to take God's love, our hands, no, our mission, out to all people and show the world that Jesus is there where two or three are gathered in his name. And when they are, there is love also. Amen.